Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vobes, and this is the audio diary of my life, behind the scenes of a YouTuber and, well, content creator. A farmer. You know what I mean. It's early in the morning. A landowner, a bloke on the ground. It is Saturday the 25th today. That's what I was trying to get to. I didn't have a good night's sleep, actually. We came home yesterday afternoon, tried to get home before the rush hour. We'd been staying Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday to Friday, actually. We went there on Tuesday, so we had three nights, which was quite ambitious, really, I think, being away for so long.
Excuse me, Yori.
And it was very lovely, but what I miss now is this another sunny day, damn it. We need water for the pond. Really, really worried now. And, April showers, whatever happened to them? Something's going on with this weather. They said they were going to dim the sky, and it would be nice if they actually... I love the sun, don't get me wrong. I am a sun kid. Ordinarily, I wouldn't be thinking about it. I wouldn't be thinking about the consequences of too much sun and seeds trying to grow and plants, embryonic plants just desperate to get watered. I wouldn't be thinking about that. But when you're off grid and you haven't got any water, yes, that's a big major concern. And I dare say it's a major concern for others as well if you're off grid and you haven't got enough water. We're at the beginning of our journey with this growing thing, and it would be nice to be relatively successful. Anyway, point is, we came home yesterday, and we tried to avoid the rush hour. It was Friday. We had to go to the farm shop because the farm shop's closed on Monday, and we were running out of food, and we were wondering about what we're going to do because we've got to go back. We've got to take water, you see. We've got to take water with us and then water these plants, our lovely plants. And we can't leave them for too long. We're not going to be there today and this evening, so we'll have to go back Sunday. Whether we stay again, whether we commute, I don't know at this stage. We're a bit concerned. But anyway, we did get caught up in all the rush hour. And it was a right old rigmarole coming home, which was a nuisance anyway. And then we unloaded and got the SE lit because the SE hadn't been on for a few days. And so the water was absolutely frozen cold. So it took a while to get water warm. The house reasonably warm because of the hot weather. Excuse me, honey. But one of the things we've been doing is getting up around six-ish, and going for a stroll, have a cup of coffee, get into some clothes, and go round a stroll round the perimeter of the land. It's a nice little stroll, smoke the pipe, get out into the sunshine, and suddenly I'm up, it's 6:30, and it's funny, I just don't fancy the stroll. Well, it's onto hard pavements and roads and, people going about their business, and suddenly it seems very unfriendly. I don't know why that would be. It was strange having had, what did we do? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 4 days effectively away. I guess like a mini holiday to some people. Although we were working on the various bits and pieces, it was relaxing, challenging at times, but it was a working break. If it was a holiday at all, it wasn't a holiday. It's become our life, and as such, coming home from a tranquil place where there are great tits, blue tits, robins, blackbirds. What do you call them? Red kites. I was going to say calling them flying kites. Red kites. And I saw my first squirrel up there. We hadn't seen a squirrel all the 6 months he'd been there, I saw one squirrel passing by. Haven't seen any other squirrels. And very tranquil with, I think, a dunnock we've seen. And I said blackbirds, didn't I? And, of course, the pheasants, who have a constant presence around that area. Is it roosting? Is that where they house themselves, where they sort of just sit living? I don't know. Julia knows the term. Anyway, so very tranquil. And having come back from all of that and the cacophony of the birdsong at around between 4 and 5 in the morning, which is lovely if you happen to wake up and hear it lying in bed, it just, you know, stunning. And coming back here, it's a Saturday morning, so it's not as grim. But last night, Friday night, the sirens, the noise of the traffic, the gulls, seagulls. It all seemed very amplified. I'm slurping on tea here. But we were busy, busy. I had the English couple to get edited, which I did the moment we unloaded and finished getting the Essie going and all of that. So that's up. It's not released yet. It will be released shortly, but that will be out for today. I have this morning an interview with the lovely Steve and Wendy from Sounds Beautiful to put out, so I should get on and do that. I have a pipe smoking video already recorded, filmed for tomorrow, so I should get that ready. I intend to film a Richard Vobes video for the main channel at some point today. I've got to post a book. Somebody, I don't know who it is, off the top of my head, somebody emailed me yesterday and said, I ordered a book and it never came. And they sent me the screenshot of them buying it through PayPal. Now, it does happen. I've sent out quite a few of these books, and nearly 1,000 books, and I suppose about 4, maybe 5, have come back and said the book never arrived. And then I look at the address and go, yeah, I remember writing that on the envelope. I don't know why that didn't arrive, but things do get lost in the post. It's a fact of life, and there's not much one can do about it. So I looked at this and I thought, oh, right, okay, another one. That's a shame because, you know, it's a loss, isn't it? It's a shame to have to lose out on a book. It's a shame for the person waiting, and it's a shame for me. And then I looked at the screenshot where he paid on PayPal, and I emailed him back, and I said to whatever his name was, I said, thanks very much for that. I'm so sorry you didn't get your book, but I notice that you didn't give me your address. Perhaps if you could give me your address, I could actually send it to you. I didn't want to be rude or anything, but I do now remember there had been, I think, 2 people had ordered the book, didn't send me their address through PayPal. So I go to PayPal, and not every time PayPal tells you the email of the person. So you have to leave a message in PayPal for that person. And so I would have said something along the lines of, thanks very much for the payment. You know, if you could let me know your address, I'll post it to you. And on the email I send out, when people inquire about the book, it says, please send me, if you're paying via PayPal, please tell me your address, or email me address, you know, something. Because I don't know where they live. I'm not, as much as it might be useful to be psychic in those sort of occasions, I'm not. So I have, I now wait, really, for them to get back and say, ah, yes, my address is, and then I can post it to them. Otherwise, if they don't, I'll just refund them and say, I'm, you know, and leave a message again in PayPal saying, I'm really sorry, as you didn't give me your address. All I can do really is refund you. And then that's up to them. Certainly not going to waste a book you know, write it out, as in put in their name in the inside cover with a message and a sign, signature, if at the end of the day I never hear from them again. I have done that. Somebody in Australia ordered a book, said it didn't come, and I said, oh, don't worry, I'll send you another one. I wrote it all out, and then I got an email saying, no, it's all right, it's come. And so I had a book then, a second book, which in the inside cover was dedicated to this particular person, an unusual name, couldn't, unless somebody else of that exact name got in touch, couldn't use it. And again, you think, oh, that's a waste of a book, because now I can't send that to anybody else. What do you do? Pain in the bum. But anyway, I'm very pleased that people are buying the book. You know, that's very handy and very grateful. I wonder if it's going to rain. I don't suppose it will. Right, so I do have a book that was sent to me by a lady called Madeline Waterfield. And it's called A Beautiful Revolution. And I thought I would read on the back what it's about. She sent it to me and said, I'm sending you my book. Hope you like it. If you do like it, you know, if you feel inclined, have a chat about it on the channel. And so I thought, yeah, let's have a look. I like reading books, and I wondered if there was, I suppose, some sort of, I could do book review type things for, there's a lot of people trying to write books, and I know how difficult it is to get them published, and not so much published, but also marketing to get them out there so that people would buy them. And I did try this once before on a channel called Book Snips. Was it called Book Snips or Snip? Book Snippets? Or something, I don't know, when I was reading snippets of new work. So, I don't know, we'll see how it goes. So, it's a lovely volume. It looks like it's not printed by Amazon, which makes a bloody change. So it's been self-published and printed privately. I think, looking at the name of the company, the same company that I got to print Biggleswick, the town that wouldn't comply. If you'd like a copy, let me know. So it's called A Beautiful Revolution. This is a softback rather than a hardback, but it seems to be nicely put together. It's quite a large volume. It has got, get past all the references in the back, 400 pages, and yeah, there's about 20-odd pages of references. So it's about 420-odd pages, something like that. So that's quite a long book. And I delved into a bit of it yesterday. And it's a sort of factual fiction book, if you see what I mean. Well, you won't until I explain a bit further. So what it is, it's a story of a couple travel and their children travelling around America. I think they're British, or they were born in Australia and came to live in Britain and went back to Australia to tour around. Anyway, so they're doing that, but at the same time, it's very much talking about the state of the world, the pandemic, lockdown, medical interference, and various other things that gets weaved into the story, not in the way that Biggleswick is done. It's sort of more of a comparison, I suppose. So they go to a farm, an old family farm, I think, and they're, you know, looking around at this Australian family farm, which is fascinating because it's very different from our sort of farms. And then she starts to talk about farming in general, farming in this country, and how farming is decimated by the authorities, the government, and so on, with facts and figures. So it's that sort of book that is comparing, I suppose, this journey to what we've gone in recently. And then I don't know whether it's talking about what surmises is coming up. One of the interesting things for me is she says at the beginning that there are many people waking up to this. And that's clearly happening because more and more people are writing books about what went on. And there's plenty of people who are asleep to all of this. Perhaps they're waking up that the government is not quite what it should be, and that it doesn't seem to be acting in our favour. And why wouldn't a government act in our favour? After all, in the narrative that we're sold, we're the ones that put the government there. We put the government there, and therefore we put them there to do the best for us. But they don't seem to do the best for us. Instead, they make laws, petty laws, that penalise us. They act in their own interests, and they seem to be being controlled by different mysterious organisations, so that they appear to be puppets doing the work of somebody else. That isn't a bunch of people we call a government to work for us. If they work for us, as I've mentioned before, they would be doing their damnedest to make everything as beneficial, cost-effective, and as healthy as possible. But they do the exact reverse. And we know that. More and more people are beginning to know that, and more people are waking up to that, which is good. And more books are being published pointing that out. So I want to read to you what's on the back of the book here, so it gives you an idea. So it says here, a revolution in human awareness is underway as increasing numbers of people question those in so-called authority. A light went out in 2020 when officials all over the world simultaneously manipulated and intimidated people during a so-called deadly pandemic, while executing the largest transference of wealth and power ever seen. Mismanagement and dishonesty stirred feelings of indignation that inspired many people to learn about freedom, law and governance, the power of natural immunity and the truth behind the hype. Interwoven with a fascinating expose of unaccountable global power structures and their thirst for power and wealth, this is the story of an English family's adventure travelling around Australia over the course of an unforgettable year. Vivid descriptions of bushland, deserts, savannas, dramatic geological wonders, rugged coastlines and vibrant coral reefs remind us of nature's abundance, resilience and beauty, and contrast sharply with revelations of unnatural, illogical initiatives by officials who broke their own rules. The harm and hardships suffered by ordinary people are sparking a grassroots great awakening, where people are discovering the truth about crisis capitalism, exploiting health, wars, climate, and digital infrastructure. We're learning how to reclaim our freedoms, reassess the distribution of wealth and power, protect farmers who are our national treasures, ensure robust health of land and livestock through regenerative farming, and learn from Indigenous people about ancestral diets and protection of the land for future generations. We will peacefully reclaim our rightful authority over public servants and ensure that we can create a prosperous, fair and healthy life for ourselves and our children. Welcome to a beautiful revolution. And I don't know whether the book is available at places like Amazon, but it says here it is available at Peace Tide Publishing. That is peacetide.co.uk. So if you're interested in reading it, it does seem like a jolly good book. So, as I say, I've been reading it. I'll just read you a little bit more. How are we doing on the time? This is, I'm just going to open this, not at the beginning, but again at random place, or in fact where I got up to. This is chapter 5, Seeding Natural Immunity, 5 Steps, Canberra Act. As we drove away, so bear in mind they're sort of on that, this is a sort of recounting the story of them driving and then it goes into other stuff. As I drove away, I reflected on the farm visit. Clearly, some agricultural policies determined by politicians were not favouring the farmers, certainly not the small farmers. On the road, it wasn't unusual to see an abandoned farmhouse along the way, and I often imagined how the people who once lived here, in some isolation, might have struggled. The lonely setting it suggested. Roofless remains of broken walls and chimneys clung to past efforts and memories. Sometimes political decisions made by people who have not experienced rural lives, or even working people's lives, can have devastating consequences, like the loss of a farm. The world of politics is one where the most powerful corporations, Sainsbury's for example, can donate to political parties and successfully influence policy. Other donors win government contracts. CEOs and politicians go through revolving doors between the top jobs in spheres of influence, politics, corporations and regulatory bodies. I think that wasn't spheres, that was spheres. Some politicians can promote a product while in office and be assured of a related job when they leave. While public money can make corporations wealthy and powerful, and while pharmacological initiatives are almost exclusively promoted, knowledge of good health through the right diets and lifestyles is being lost along the way. I've mentioned the wisdom of natural immunity and creation of optimum conditions for it to flourish that are at the heart of this book. Success for farmers and success for parents means ensuring robust health of their land, produce and offspring. For our babies and children, there are 5 steps towards potential natural immunity that we can confer. This wisdom can explain how some people can go through their entire life without depending on pharmaceutical products. 1. Seeding the immune system. The more robust parents' health is before conception, the greater the quality of inherited immunity, known as paternal and maternal transgeneration immune priming. According to The Conversation, a man's health significantly impacts his partner's pregnancy through sperm quality, affecting conception, miscarriage and birth defects, and his own lifestyle, health, increasing risks like preeclampsia, affecting child development via epigenetics. Factors like paternal age, obesity, smoking, chronic conditions, diabetes, high blood pressure, stress and even chronic conditions, stress and even medications can alter sperm DNA, increase pregnancy complications for the mother, and influence the baby's long-term health, highlighting the shared responsibility in preconception care. The mother also gifts her growing baby with antibodies. The healthier the woman is in pregnancy, the more antibodies are passed from her through the placenta. Finally, and importantly, the process of natural birth seeds the gut immune system, where the microbiome takes root and flourishes. The gut of a newborn, The gut of a newborn is sterile in utero, so as soon as natural birth takes place, the baby is exposed to her mother's microbacteria. This is a powerful and enduring seeding of the lower gut immune system. In the event of a caesarean birth, doctors are practicing the art of gut microbial transfer from the mother's good bacteria via a sterile swab to the baby to give the same exposure as in the natural birth. It's called maternal fecal microbial transplantation. 2. Mother's milk. This is a complete diet for a growing baby. Colostrum is the first milk, which lasts for a few days. It is thick, rich and full of nutrients, including protein, antibodies, minerals, vitamins and growing factors. I should just go through these 5 steps, just on not all in great detail because I haven't got time. But anyway, it goes on about mother's milk. Number 3 is delay clamping and cutting of the umbilical cord. That's very important. Number 4 is a gradual exposure to microbes. So that starts with in arms phase, which means the baby is being cuddled and cared for, exposed to more good bacteria within the family culture. And the 5th one is lifestyle choices to boost immunity, including healthy, fresh, rich, protein-rich, low-carb diet, sometimes known as ancestral, eliminating or reducing the highly processed foods, sugars and alcohol and seed oils to improve physical and mental health. The consumption of fermented foods and diverse foods, such as the rainbow-coloured vegetables, minimising antibiotics and the use of antibacterial hand wash. Minimising antibiotics and the use of antibacterial hand wash, fluoride, mouthwash, and so on. So they're the 5 things that she says in the book. Anyway, it goes on and talks about that in detail. And it's, I think it's an interesting book because the travelling bit is really just the vehicle in order to talk about what's gone on, the health, and where we're going. So, sounds like an interesting read. I shall enjoy carrying on with that one when I'm sitting in a chair in the sunshine, or in the shelter when it's raining or cold, on the land, or on my sofa or my chair, my armchair here at home. So, a beautiful revolution. Sounds good. Bigglesworth is still available if you haven't bought it. It is a jolly good read. I should know. I wrote it. Thank you for listening. I will catch up with you soon. By the way, the last 2 days I have recorded a Naked Englishman. I said the last 2 days. I think it was 22nd and 23rd. I didn't do one yesterday, that's right. And they're up on the nakedenglishman.co.uk website. So that's got the sounds of the land walking around and chatting in the morning sunshine. Until next time, thanks for listening. Goodbye.